This program is made possible by the members of the Church Street Baptist Church in Greensboro, North Carolina.
Joshua chapter 1, I want to talk to you for just a minute on Moses, my servant, is dead. Moses, my servant, is dead. Joshua 1, verse number 1, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give unto them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous. Thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For, say this word with me, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You see, Joshua understood, had been told by God, that the blessing follows obedience. You've got to obey God before you're blessed by God. It doesn't work the way that we think it works. A lot of times what we think happens is, God, when you start blessing, I'll start obeying. But the Bible says, you keep the words of my book, then thou shalt have good success, and then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Listen, you can't have the fruit unless you have the root. And the root is obedience to whatever God tells you to do. Have not I commanded thee, verse 9, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. The book of Joshua is the first book of the historical section of the Old Testament. It is that section of the Old Testament that begins the nation of Israel inside of the walls of the promised land, inside the boundaries of the promised land. Joshua is the successor of Moses. He is the one that follows Moses, the great man of God. There are a lot of you that like outlines. You like to be able to outline. Here's an outline for the book of Joshua. You've got chapter 1 through chapter 5. You could write down this, command. God commands the people. God commands Joshua. Joshua commands the people. Then the people command the spies. And the spies command Rahab. From chapter 1 to chapter 5, you constantly have commands, commands, commands. Chapter 6 through chapter 11, you've got the conquest. You've got the people obeying the command. You've got the people being obedient, the spies being obedient. You've got Rahab being obedient. You've got everybody being obedient except one man whose name is Achan. From chapter 12 to chapter 22, you can outline it with the word Canaan. That's where God divides the land, the promised land, to his people. Then the very last two chapters, chapter 23 and chapter 24, you could write down the word counsel. That's where Joshua tells the people what he needs to say. Men and women, I feel compelled to say this to you in your heart and to your hearing. Do not wait to the end of your life to tell your family what you need to tell them. Do not wait to the end of your life to tell the people you need to tell what you need to tell them. But if you do, do not be afraid to tell them what you need to tell them, even if you've waited too long. Ladies and gentlemen, the only thing that does not need to be said to the people of God is what God has not told you to say. But everything God wants you to say, you need to say. It doesn't matter if you do it now, you do it later. That's the way you can outline this book. And Joshua, as you come into chapter 1, Joshua is sitting by the Jordan River and he's weeping. And he's crying. And there beside the Jordan River, he is begging God, God, what are we going to do? Moses is dead. Your servant is dead. Your people are worried. We're still in the wilderness. And God comes to Joshua and he gives Joshua four different commands. He tells Joshua four different things that they ought to do. He tells Joshua four different commands. He repeats one of them two times, but he tells them four different times, four different things. Now, as I looked at these, some of you are wondering. I'm going to stop here for just a second, and I want to talk to you for a minute, because some of you wonder, as you're seeking God and as you're asking God, and I'm feeling something coming up in me right now, so somebody say amen. Brother Don, you may want to turn me down just a hair, because I'm feeling Pentecostal right about this second. Many of you are walking with God. You're trying to seek God. You're trying to go with God. You're trying to find the will of God, and you wonder, am I hearing God? Is what I'm hearing God? Is what I'm hearing me? Is what I'm hearing the devil? How do I know what the commands of God? How do I know what the will of God are? Three little things I get from these commands. Write these down. Number one, whenever you hear the command of God, it is absolutely unmistakable. Whenever God speaks to you, you do not know, you do not doubt what you've just heard. Whenever God speaks, you know it's God speaking. It's not because of how loud it is. It is because how clear it is. God doesn't speak in a loud voice. God speaks in a still small voice. But when God speaks, honey, it is not a matter of, did I just hear what I thought I heard? Did he just say what I thought he said? Are we going to go where he said? No. You don't have a question, did I just hear God? You have a question of whether or not you're going to obey what you just heard. Number one, it is unmistakable. There are people in here right now. You have not been saved by the grace. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. You've never been saved by the grace of God. You've never come to Christ in repentance. You've never accepted his salvation. And you're wondering, when will God call me? Is this God calling me? Ladies and gentlemen, I promise you, anything that is calling you to the cross, it is from the cross and from Jesus Christ. The devil's never going to call you to salvation. The enemy's never going to call you to salvation. The demons will never call you to salvation. So honey, if that voice is speaking, saying, come on, child, just come down to the foot of the old rugged cross. There's blood flowing from Emmanuel's veins to forgive you of all of your sins and to wash away all of your stains and to take you and make you a child of God. I promise you, it is the voice of God, not because of how loud it is, but honey, because of how clear it is. Number two, it is not only unmistakable. When you hear from God, it's unavoidable. You say, what do you mean? Here's what I mean. When God tells you to do something, you either going to do it or you're not going to do it. You're not going to say, I don't know that I understand that. That didn't make sense. Now, I didn't say you're going to always know how to do it, where to go to do it, how to get it done. But you're going to know, I either have to obey or disobey. There are people here, I don't know why this is on my heart like it is. There are people that come into church. Do you remember the day you got saved? Do you remember the day that the Holy Ghost began nudging on your heart? Do you remember the day that God Almighty himself began to call you to salvation and you knew it was God and you had one of two choices? You were either going to obey or you were going to disobey. It wasn't a matter, well, I'll just kindly sit here and I'll let it pass. Honey, God's not indigestion. He doesn't pass. If he passes on, it's because you said no. And I promise you, you do not want to say no to the God of glory, because this very well could be your last no. It's unavoidable. Number three, it's uncomplicated. God will never ask you to do something he doesn't make a way for you to do it. Joshua, cross Jordan. Don't worry about the river. Follow me. Listen, God will always make a way when he asks you to do something. God will always make a path where there is no path. We spend our time saying, God, how am I going to get it done? Where am I going to go to get it done? How are we going to get it done? How are we going to pay for it? What are we going to do? What are we going to do here? La, 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 la. And God said, I'm not asking you to figure it out. I'm not asking you to do this. I'm just asking you to say a simple, yes, I will follow you. Ladies and gentlemen, obedience is all God's asking. God doesn't ask you to move the mountain. God doesn't ask you to cross the river. God doesn't ask you to roll back the sunset. God doesn't ask you to heap up the mountains. God doesn't ask you to trace out the river. God doesn't want you to push back the sea. sea. God doesn't want you to bring bread out of heaven. God doesn't want you bringing water out of a rock. All he wants you to do, if he says go to the rock, water's coming. All he wants you to do is get your pitcher, that thing empty, and say, God, I'm waiting on you. Whenever you get ready, I'm standing by the rock. If God tells you to cross the river, you say, God, I'm standing by the bank, and I'm looking for a place to cross over. God will take care of the parting. God will take care of the miracle. God will take care of the supernatural. Preacher, he said, Tyler, he said, son, I'm in my little bedroom. I've got my little posters on my wall. I'm 18 years old. I want to be a police officer. I want to be a firefighter. I want to be something. All of a sudden, I heard the Holy Ghost say, son, I want you to preach. I want you to preach my word. I want you to go. I want you to do it, and I want you to do it now. I sat there, and I said, God, nobody's going to want to listen to me. I don't have anywhere to preach. I don't have anywhere to go. I don't have anybody to call my own, and nobody's going to listen to me. He said, I didn't tell you to worry about where you're going to preach. I didn't tell you to worry about where you're going to go. I didn't tell you how to worry about how to get it done, how we're going to do this, how we're going to do that. I just want you to say, I will obey you. And I tell you, if you sit here at 3113 this morning, that there is a God. Whatever that God's telling you to do, all you need to do is throw up your hands and say, God, if it's a mountain, I'll climb it. If it's a river, I'll cross it. If it's an ocean, I'll swim it. If it's an altar, I'll crawl down to it. If it's blood, I'll get up under it. Whatever you want me to do, God, I just want to be obedient, ladies and gentlemen. You do the obeying and God will do the miracle. Preacher, how am I going to save myself? I don't know. I still ain't figured out how I got in, honey, but all I did is I bowed down at the feet of Jesus and I looked at those scars in his feet and he said, by my stripes, honey, you can be healed. And I said, I trust Jesus. I believe, Father. He said, I'll take care of the rest. You have faith, I'll take care of everything else. I just want to stop, take me a little time out. I know it's ACC tournament time, so you understand what a timeout is. It means just hold the phone. We'll be right back and we're going to pick up where we left off, but let me just take me a little time out. Do you remember the good, glad day when you said yes to Jesus and he washed away your sin and he wrote your name down in the Lamb's book of life and he gave you a home in heaven and he gave peace in your heart and he rolled away every sin and he rolled away every burden and he rolled away every trial and he said, I'll be with you and I'll go with you and I'll help you and I'll strengthen you and I'll walk with you and I'll be your bread, I'll be your water, I'll be your wine, I'll be your peace, I'll be your grace, I'll be your mercy. Great God in heaven, I remember the day when Jesus save my soul. Amen. Time in. When God tells you to do something, just do it. Now, preacher, what were the commands? I'm not going to give them all to you. I'm not going to preach on them. There's four little commands God gave Joshua. Number one, he said, get up. Get up. Verse one, he said, now therefore arise. What does it mean to get up? It means stop sitting, get up. What does it mean in Hebrew? Stop sitting, get up. What's it mean in Greek? Well, the Septuagint translation is a little bit different. It means this, stop sitting, get up. You know what God's telling you to do right now? Whatever you're doing, stop thinking about it and get up. Do it. Number two, he said, go. 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 He said, now therefore arise and go over this Jordan. Go. Number three, he said, have some guts. Have guts. You say, what? Where's guts in the Bible? He said this, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. The Hebrew phrase, it's kazak hamatz. Kazak hamatz. Be strong, resolute. Have a backbone. Don't back down. Don't bend. Kazak amatz. The word amatz, it means be of color. Don't be white or yellow. We call them cowards. You ever heard them called yellow bellies? Spineless jellyfish? Got a cotton string where you need a backbone. That's what he's saying. He's saying kazak amatz. Kazak amatz. It's the war cry of the Jewish people. Whenever the Jews would go to battle, Mr. Reed, they would get together. You know, today everybody has battle cries. Even teams, they get together and they put their hands in a huddle and they'll say, 1, 2, 3, team. 1, 2, 3, Blue Devils. 1, 2, 3, Tar Heels. 1, 2, 3, Wahoo. Whatever they say 1, 2, 3, team. Sometimes, honest, I think they need to say 1, 2, 3, right guard because somebody is stinking in that pile. I can smell them on the other side of the TV. They're saying whatever. That's their war cry. That's what they're saying. We're going going into battle. We're going into something and we want to win. You know, the Marines have a war cry. Whenever they go, they say, hoorah. That's their war cry. Whenever they're going somewhere, they say, hoorah. Ladies and gentlemen, when the Jewish people went into battle, they didn't say hoorah. They didn't say this. They would cry, kazak, Hamas, kazak. Hamas, that word kazak, it's the word strength. If you ever research that word out, you'll find that the first time that word is mentioned, it's in regard to God, the kazak giver. Ladies and gentlemen, what they were saying when they would go to battle, they would say kazak. God is with us. Kazak. God is among us. God is by my side. God is my strength. God is my say. Kazak. Hamas, there are people in here. You say, preacher, I could never do it. I can't go down to that altar. I can't put my trust in Christ. I can't cross that river. I can't believe God. The church says, we don't have the money to do that. We can't go there. We can't reach those people. I tell you, kazak, Hamas, God is with us. I remember what the old preacher said. He said, if you take the first step, God will take all the rest of the steps with you. If you walk the first way, God will walk the rest of the way with you. I remember old Billy Kelly telling that story. He was up in the top row of the University of Tennessee the day that he got saved, that the preacher said, all right, we'll give one more invitation for the old redhead boy in the back that's under conviction. And all of a sudden, he said, if you take the first step, God will take the rest of the steps with you. Old Billy Kelly said, I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means, but I'm just going to try it. He said, I lifted up my leg and I stuck it out into the walkway, and before I knew it, my legs started moving on down, and they came on down to the altar. You know what he found? He found that there was a God that was with him. He found there was a God that was beside him. He found there was a God that walked his path and walked his way and crossed that river and climbed that mountain. I tell you, child of God, you've never walked one way. You've never gone down one path that the kazak heaven giver, the strength giver, the God of glory, the God of power, the God of strength, the God of help, the God of healing, the God of mercy, the God of salvation. He's walked every path. He's walked every way. I say, child of God, kazak hamatz, be strong and of a good courage. Have guts. What happened to the people of God that said, I don't care what anybody says, I'm going with God? This church was built because somebody said, I'm not looking at my pocketbook. I'm not looking at the banker. I am looking to the God that saved my soul. Kazak Hamas. Number four, he said, go, get up, go, have guts. Number four, he said, guard yourself. He said in verse number seven, he said, turn not from the right hand or to the left hand. Now here's a question I've got. Why would he have to tell Joshua not to turn from the commandments of God? Well, here's why. We all, when things are bad, there's no money, no bills, no nothing, when there's nothing and it's bad, when nobody's coming to the church house, when there's no money in the bank, when your wife's mad, your kids are mad, your family's busted up, it's pretty easy to have faith in God because he's the only answer you've got, isn't it? Okay, two people here, no people on this side, and y'all, I don't know what's going on that side over there, but you know what I'm saying, isn't it? Look, your wife leaves you, your husband leaves you. It's easy to come down to an altar and say, great God, I'm begging you, put it back together, isn't it? Yeah. You got pork and beans on the table. You're on your last can of Vienna sausages, and you ain't got a dime to your name. It's easy to say, God, help. Help. Israel's up against a river. They have no way to cross it. It's easy to say, God, move the water. It's easy when you come into a church, and the only answer you've got is a 27-year-old kid that's never pastored, ain't got a lick of sense, and can't even speak good English. It's easy to say, yeah, we'll take him. You'll do. The vote that day was like 60-2. I still think the only people with any common sense were those two that voted against me. I still believe that with my whole heart. It's easy for us to come in when there's no money in the bank and say, God, no glory, God. please meet with us today. But times turn, don't they? God starts to move. All of a sudden you get out of debt. All of a sudden you can't fit them in one service. All of a sudden the bank gets full. It's pretty easy for churches at that point to say, you know what? We're okay. We're going to do this today. We're going to go this way today. We're going to operate in this manner today. You know what? Whenever Joshua gets into the land and they're fighting and all of a sudden they start seeing victory and all of a sudden they start seeing something, all of a sudden God starts blessing you. You came down to this altar and said, God, I need you. God, I've got to have you. And now all of a sudden you get back to your pew and you go out to your car. God's put your family back together. God's give you a job. God's taking the drugs out of your system. God's giving you some help. It's pretty easy to get off on the wayside. It's pretty easy to turn to the... I've had more people come into this church and they pray and they say, will you pray that God will bless me? And man, God's faithful to bless them. God gives them jobs. God gives them babies. God gives them money. God gives them health. God gives them strength. And the next thing you know, you can't find them. You try to get the FBI to find them. They're no longer in church. They're no longer walking with God. They're no longer reading their Bible. They're no longer praying. You can't find them anywhere. You know what happened? The blessing came. And they turned. That's why the last command God ever gives to any child of God is, when I start blessing you, do not turn to the right hand or to the left. Now that, not, I was going to preach on all that, but I want to get to this last little point. I want to talk to you about Moses, my servant, is dead. Because it's easy for us in 2018 to look back almost 3,900 years at Joshua and say, Joshua, man, just cross the river. God's going to part the river. Joshua had no idea. Joshua's mentor, Joshua's hero, and the man that brought all the miracles is dead. Buried. Moses is dead. Moses is buried. Joshua sits on the bank of the river and he says, God, I'm not Moses. God, I've never crossed any rivers. God, I've never done any miracles. And God speaks up and this is what he says. Moses, my servant is dead. Get up and go. I believe if Joshua was a Baptist like most of us, he would probably say, now, God, I heard what you said, but don't you realize Moses is dead? And God said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now get up and go over the River Jordan. Now, God, listen, I know what you're saying, but don't you understand? Moses, the lawgiver, he's dead. Moses, the water parter, he's dead. We got to part some waters, but God, he's dead. God says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now get up and go. You say, but preacher, how can I do these things? Everything I've ever done, Moses is dead. Number one, Moses may be dead, but the master's alive. I believe Joshua looked at God and he said, God, but Moses is dead. God looked at Joshua and he said, son, may I ask you a question? Who was it? Where was Moses when I formed the earth? Where was Moses when I flickered the stars in the sky? Where was Moses when I heated up the sun and told it to stay? Where was Moses when I put the moon in the sky? Where was Moses when I traced out the water? Where was Moses when I rolled back the river? Where was Moses? Ladies and gentlemen, here's what I'm trying to tell you. Moses may be dead in your life, but God is still God and God is still alive. There are good people in our past, good churches in our past. There are people in this room. You were parts of churches and man, it went south and your heart was broken and your life was ripped apart and you don't know that you're ever going to be the same. This is what I tell you. It's bad. I know it's tough. I know it hurts. I know your heart's broken. But at the end of the day, you remember this. Church Street Baptist Church is not God. And any church you've ever been to is not God. And Tyler Galdon is not God. And Billy Kelly is not God, and Billy Canoy is not God, and Jack Lemmons is not God. There's not a man on this earth that is God. Moses is dead, but God is still alive. I told 930 Church, I don't even know if I ought to say it anymore because it hurts my feelings. What are y'all going to do if I die this week? Lord, I don't want you to prove anything today. I'm just trying to talk to the people. But what are y'all going to do if I die this week? I'll tell you what you do. You weep over my casket, and then you come in here next Sunday and realize it wasn't Tyler that did this. It wasn't Church Street that did this. It wasn't the bank that did this. It wasn't a man that did this. And the same God that did it in me and through you is still alive, and he's still on the throne, and he's still in charge, and he still saves people. Ladies and gentlemen, I may be dead, but God is still alive. Brothers and sisters, hear me. The past, they did great things, but it wasn't them. It was God with them. Moses is dead. Yeah, but the master's still alive. Number two, Moses is dead, but the man is alive. Moses may be gone, but they don't need Moses to cross the river. You know who they need? They need Joshua. Brother Daniel Buchanan said a few Saturdays ago while we were here at the prayer meeting, he said a couple of Saturdays ago, he said this. He said, for every church that wants to get out of the wilderness, God will send them a Joshua. To every wife or every husband that wants to get out of the wilderness, God will send them a Joshua. To every nation that God that wants to get out of the wilderness, God will send them a Joshua. To every person that wants to get out of the wilderness, God will send them a Joshua. Here's what he's saying. To everybody that wants to do better for God, with God, by God, and through God, God will make a way for you to do that. God has never brought you somewhere and given you a desire that he will not give you the power and the ability to meet it. Here's the problem. So many of us are worried about how to get out that we feel we can't do it. You realize God never wanted you to do it. God never wanted you to get over the river. God wanted you to follow Joshua. You know why so many men can't stop drinking? They won't follow Joshua in their life. You know why so many men can't get over the things in their life? They won't follow Joshua. You've got wives in your life, men, and they're telling you, stop. Stop. Go get help. Go here. Go do this. Go that. Well, she's pushing me to do it. I guess I'll do it. No. You need to learn to follow Joshua. Ma'am, it's in my heart, it's in my soul. Some of you had fathers that were absolute pieces of trash. They abused you, they yelled at you, they talked bad about you, and your whole life you begged God, God, give me somebody that'll love me. Give me somebody that'll care for me. And God sent you a Joshua. You won't follow him. Too many hurts back there to follow Joshua here. There's some people in this church, you need to be saved by the grace of God. And I'm up here blowing my ever-living tonsils to the back wall. But all you can think about is some preacher in your past, somebody in your past that messed you up. How do you follow Joshua? Three things. Number one, you got to bury Moses. You want to follow Joshua, you got to bury Moses. So you just need to get over that thing in your past. Here's the thing. You realize if you'll ever get over it and cross over, you'll never have to look at it again. You ever get over that thing and go ahead with the Joshua God's given you, you don't ever have to worry about that thing back here. Oh, is it going to be there? Yeah, it's going to be there. What are you going to do about it? I don't know. I never got to go back over. I've crossed the river. I'm in the land flowing with milk and honey. I've got the grapes of Ishkol. I've got land. I've got fire. I've got peace. I've got grace. I've got mercy. I've got it all. Why? Because I buried Moses and crossed over. How do you get out of the wilderness? You bury Moses. You know, a lot of churches have never moved forward with God, not because they didn't have a Joshua, but because they wouldn't let go of a Moses. Let me tell you something. If I die, God forbid that I die, I'm not looking to die. I'm not looking to die. I feel healthier right now than I've ever felt, which is not saying a lot, but I feel better right this second than I've ever felt. Listen to me. Do not hold something I did keep you from following the next Joshua. You hear me, don't you? You try to resurrect Moses, you'll die in the wilderness. You got to bury Moses. Number two, you got to let past be past. You got to let that stuff go if you're ever going to follow Moses. If you're ever going to go, you've got to let go. Number three, you got to walk in faith. You just got to believe God. God, will you really save me? Said I would. God, will you really work miracles? Said I would. God, will you really? Said I would. You walk in faith. Moses is dead, but the man is alive. Here's my third little point on this. Moses is dead, but the mission's still alive. Look, they can look, want, yearn, hope, whatever they want to do that Moses resurrects. But you know, at the end of the day, you know where they're at? The same place now they were when he died, in the wilderness. Can I tell you something? You can stew all day on your past. You can stew all day on everything back there. You know what it's done for you? Nothing. You're in the same place you were when you started thinking about it. You know what? There's still a promised land. There's still a blessed, joy-filled Christian life. There's still peace and power. There's still hope and mercy. There's still life in Jesus Christ. There is still serenity at the foot of the cross. There is still hope. There is still salvation. There's still a world that's got to hear the gospel. There's still people that need salvation. There's still people that need to know what we already know. You know what we've got to do? Bury Moses. Get up and go. Get up and go. Get up and go. Get up and go. Holy Ghost just gave me something. There are people in this room that are so pained at the loss of a parent, a spouse, a child. Great God. Never seen this Holy Ghost. You're so hurt. Your Moses isn't a bad Moses, but it's holding you up. You ready? Fast forward to the New Testament. They finally let Moses, they don't let him hold them up, and they move forward. Where do they go? What land do they go into? The land of Canaan, Israel, right? Okay, you ready? Fast forward. The book of Matthew, the book of Luke, the book of Mark, the book of John. They're in the land. Jesus is alive. He's born. He's 30 years old. They're in Israel. It's time for the transfiguration. They go up on top of Mount Tabor. Peter, James, John, Jesus. Okay? How many is that? Four. Peter, James, John, Jesus. Four. They climb to the top of Mount Tabor. They get up on the lofty heights and Jesus is transfigured before their eyes. But two people show up. Who? Elijah and Moses. What they let go down there and followed God in faith met them up there. What they refused to let hinder them and hold them up, they met on top of Pisgah's lofty heights. Yeah. Yeah. Preacher, what do? My daddy was my hero. My mama was the love of my life. My son, my daughter, my everything. I'll tell you what you do, child of God. You weep, you cry, but at the end of the day, you realize it was all a part of the plan of God. I don't understand it. I don't try to explain it, but you walk on in faith and you say, God, I'm going to do what you've told me to do. I'm going to go where you've told me to go, great God in heaven, and you walk on over and you keep on going because the day's going to come. You're going to walk on through. You're going to fight your battles. You're going to fight your wars. doors, you're going to go, and all of a sudden you're going to come to a place, and you're going to see Pisgah's lofty heights, and you're going to see Mount Tabor, and you're going to say, God, it's time to go on to heaven. It's time to walk a little higher. It's time to come into the lofty heights of the Canaan's wonderful land. And you're going to get there, and you're going to say, I'm glad I fought. I'm glad I waged war. I'm glad I had faith. I'm glad I believed God. And meeting you there, honey, it's going to be your friends. It's going to be your Peter, your Jameses, and your Johns. And on top of that mountain, you're going to see Jesus face to face. But he's going to have somebody with him. He's going to want to introduce you to something. Peter, James, and John said, who's that? They said, that's Moses. And I wonder if their mind went back to what Joshua did when he let Moses not hinder him and walked into the promised land. Because Moses didn't let his Joshua didn't let his Moses hinder him, he met him again in glory. Are you ready for this? I get stuck on them numbers. How many people did I say? Peter, James, John, Jesus. How many is that?
Four.
Thank you, Nizel. Only got one person with me. How many is that?
Four.
Okay. You had Moses and Elijah. That's six. Six is man's number. That's not that great of a number. That's, in fact, that's a number none of us really like. What's the number we like?
Seven.
Somebody else shows up to the party. Because Moses was there, and they climbed the lofty heights. The Bible says the clouds open up. And out of the heavens, a voice speaks. And God steps out of the glory world. And he says, this is my beloved son. Hear ye him. And God perfected that situation. I don't understand why Moses has to be buried. Look, I'm going to be honest with you. There are times I feel like, God, if you just bring Preacher Kanoi back, this place wouldn't fall apart. But God says, Tyler, he ran his race. It's your turn, son. And one day when I stand before God, if I'll be faithful, if I'll obey his voice, I'll step in and there will be my friends, my Savior, the Moses that we cannot let hinder me. And God will say, well done. Listen, that daddy, that brother, that child, that pain, that issue, it's not worth missing God's promised land for your life. That baby, that little girl, that sister, those heartbreaks, those mamas and daddies. God, I ran my race. God, I kept the faith. Here's what he'll say. He'll say, come here. Come here. I want to introduce you to somebody. And then face to face, we'll be reunited. And then all of a sudden, God will step in and say, this is my beloved child in whom I am well pleased. Moses, my servant.